we are really, really concerned about the welfare and happiness of other beings. We have real empathy, we have compassion, we have kindness, and we really want others to be well and happy. What is the best thing we can possibly do for other beings? Becoming enlightened, attaining Nirvana ourselves, because it means that all defilements, the roots of the unwholesome, as they are called, greed, hatred, and delusion, are removed from our own heart. And when the roots of the unwholesome are removed from our heart, then obviously there's nothing unwholesome anymore in our heart. There's nothing unwholesome that can ever grow again in our heart. And if there's nothing unwholesome in our heart, how could we do anything unwholesome externally? How could we be the cause for any problem or any issues or any calamities or any war or any atrocity or anything negative? Obviously not, would be impossible. So, the best I can do for you is becoming enlightened. The best you can do for me is becoming enlightened, removing the deep cause of any calamity from our heart. Of course, this is not the easiest task and may take time and often not achieved even in one lifetime. But fortunately, already at the beginning stages of the path to removing greed, hatred, and delusion from our own heart, we are already making positive contributions. Something as simple as generosity and giving. Dana, sila, bhavana. Generosity, virtue, and meditation, starting with generosity as a means of purifying our heart from the unwholesome, from greed, hatred, delusion, is already benefiting other beings. So it's quite a beautiful situation where doing internal work actually has also a positive external impact on others. Now, there's no contradiction between these two. How does generosity purify greed? And we can easily see that. Obviously, if we are greedy, and if we are not giving things away to others, so we are countering greed. But for sure, and we are also countering hatred. It's actually a good way of dealing with anger and irritation. If you find a person very difficult, has it ever occurred to you to give them a gift? Maybe another one, because it also triggers something psychologically. And usually we give gifts to people we like. So if we give something to difficult people, that may trigger something in our own mind, that we get a more caring, a more positive, metta, loving-kindness attitude to them. But may also have an effect on them. They're probably surprised. And maybe end up changing or improving their attitude to us as well. How does giving counter the root of the unwholesome called moha or delusion? Why does it help me to be less deluded if I am generous? Because thinking that I own that, this is a big delusion anyhow. The sense is not really giving it away, because we don't really own things anyhow. The delusion of the self, the delusion of ownership, the delusion of things owned, of assets, of upadis, of acquisitions, they all go together. The self needs acquisitions have to be held, owned by yourself. So a very practical way of overcoming, or at least the weakening, going against the delusion of ownership, I, me, mine, and self. Every little act of giving, supporting, helping others. So how does keeping virtue counter that? Now, obviously, you know, if we are not killing, you know, we are restraining at least, you know, the worst form of, you know, aversion or hatred that goes so far that we even take the life. If we abstain from stealing, you know, we are obviously restraining greed. Now, this is at least, you know, there's at least one limit. It's not yet that we are overcoming greed just by keeping the five precepts. But at least there's the first limit now. If I cannot acquire it by righteous means, then I just don't acquire it. I'm content not having it. That's at least the first kind of restriction limit to greed. A first restriction limit to hatred, at least not to kill. And again, greed in the form of desire. Third precept, at least if one is married or committed and other people are committed, and one refrains from disturbing that or breaking that commitment. This is restraining greed. How do we restrain delusion? By not lying. That is already one limitation for delusion. If we are deliberately deluding others, because that's what lying is doing, and if we succeed, then someone else and believes something that is not true, obviously we have increased the delusion in that person. Delusion is actually the worst of the three, because it's very severe in karmic consequence, and it is very difficult to overcome. And also in terms of our own practice, it's so difficult to see through the subtle lies which we are always telling ourselves. Now, the lie of I, me, and mine, the lie of Sakaya Ditti, the deception, the illusion of entity view, the illusion of a self. Now, this is so hard not to see through that, and there's such a strong tendency in that we kind of, in inverted commas, you know, that we are constantly lying to ourselves, buying into this delusion. And how can we overcome that if we are, you know, putting out lies, you know, on this very simple conventional plane already? The necessary foundation to overcome the subtle internal lying is that at least in the conventional external reality, and we stay with truth. And of course, the fifth precept, particular restraining the extreme delusion of drugs and intoxicants. In a sense, we are all drug addicts and we are intoxicated because we all have sensual addictions. If we are not yet on the third stage of enlightenment, there's all these sensual attachments and indulgences, and quite similar to a drug addict. We all have the delusion of entity views, Sakaya Ditti, self. But at least with the five precepts, we are restraining and deluding us so much that we can't even see clearly anymore. And seeing double, and people get sloshed and really losing it, having a completely distorted perception, even worse than the distortion which is already built in any mind that is not yet freed from defilements, as is constant vipalasa, as the Buddha calls it, the distortion of seeing what is impermanent as permanent, the distortion of seeing what is actually ugly and even disgusting, like the human body, to see that as alluring and attractive and beautiful. The distortion of seeing what is disappointing as giving lasting happiness, and the distortion of seeing what is not safe as safe. Now, these are the deep vipalasas. How can we address them if we are deliberately messing up our mind to such an extent that we are seeing double, literally seeing double, and being unable to find our way around, being unable to even walk properly, tumbling around. So just an example now, how keeping the five precepts is already restraining and putting some, at least an extreme limit on these roots of the unwholesome. And by doing that, we are already doing the Abhaya Dana, the gift of fearlessness to countless beings, as already a tremendous benefit. What is so powerful in terms of serving others, being of benefit to others when we are able to attain release and freedom, Nibbana, this is a kind of forever, there's no temporal limitation anymore. There will never ever be any trouble coming from us. There will never ever be any calamity or atrocity or hurting or harming coming from us. Not to all beings in the whole universe. So this is why it's so incredible, amazing in terms of what we can do for others. And then we deepen the practice by changing our thinking, changing our emotions. That's a practice of samadhi, the bhavana on the level of samatha, thinking more wholesome thoughts, abandoning unwholesome emotions in the mind. This is not yet the deepest root of the unwholesome, but our actions spring from what we are thinking. As we are thinking, if we repeatedly think it, this is how the mind inclines. As a mind inclines, this is how it will come out at some point, as speech and then as action. Of course, one can for a while, one may have lots of angry thoughts and is hiding them. But if you're constantly thinking angry thoughts and have angry emotions, and at some stage it will spill out, at least in words, but also in actions. And this is where it in the end comes from. And then when we continue doing actions and speech in one direction, then it becomes a habit. So it's not yet the deepest root, but the way we think, the emotions we cultivate, particularly the habitual thinking, the habitual thought patterns, that is one of the roots for our speech and action, or the root for our speech and action. So we are making a good contribution to the welfare and benefit of the whole world. When we notice any unwholesome thoughts arising in our mind and we try to overcome them by good thinking. And then finally, taking out the deep root of the unwholesome, greed, hatred, delusion, the asavas, the anusayas, the deep defilements deeply planted in the subconscious mind. And that can be done only by wisdom, by insight, by contemplating the five groups of clinging as impermanent, not me, not mine, by contemplating the six sense spheres which constitute the universe and the Noble One's discipline. Eye and forms, ear and sounds, nose and fragrances, tongue and flavors, body and sensations, mind and thoughts, ideas. Now this is a universe we're living in. the only universe we can actually, you know, really experience. And that's the one we are contemplating. To see, you know, that is inevitably bound up, you know, with suffering, that it's disappointing, that's impermanent, constantly vanishing, so that the heart can let go. When the heart fully lets go, you know, then these deep defilements are also abandoned. And no calamity, no atrocity, no harm, no hurt, no problem never ever emanate from us anymore. What could be better for other beings? So my suggestion, let us all practice to realize Nibbana for our mutual benefit, certainly also for our own highest benefit, but also for the highest benefit of all other beings. Few reflections I'd like to offer, and is there any comments or questions? Yeah, someone points out if we keep the five precepts, then we are giving the gift of safety to all beings, absolutely all beings, because we are not really seriously harming any being if we keep the five precepts. Yeah, now this is the abhayadana, the gift of fearlessness. That's how the Buddha called it, and the gift of fearlessness to all beings, exactly. And it's such a beautiful combination, is also good for us, because we don't make bad karma, and we experience what is called avipatisara, freedom from remorse. We experience what is called anavajra sukha, the blameless happiness. So it's a beautiful example now, how it works all around. Good for us, good for all others. For all others, it's a gift of fearlessness, a gift of safety. For us ourselves, it's a gift of freedom from remorse and the happiness of blamelessness, yes.